Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 15, Text 5. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. Aho Ami Deva Vara Marachitam Padam Bujam Te Samana Valahanam Namant Upadaya Shikabhir Atmanas Tamo Patyai Tarujanma Yat Kritam. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, O greatest of the lords, just see how these trees are bowing their heads at your lotus feet, which are worshipable by the immortal demigods. The trees are offering you their fruits and flowers to eradicate dark ignorance that has caused their birth as trees. Someone just got on, needs to mute their phone. Okay. Om Agana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Taksur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Shayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Vansha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vayeva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Siadvaita Gadadhar Shivasade Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Wow. So greetings from New Jersey again. Great to see all of you. Let's see, I kind of started this class, you know, during the pandemic because everyone is home. Now, and people just had a lot of time. I think things now again will change a bit. So anyway, I want to keep this class, if not this time, another time, but I'll consult with you all. But for me, this is the time of my life, because this is my life. My life is to conceptualize and express Krishna conscious thoughts, to share them with people, my realizations. So this is an unprecedented opportunity for myself, and I'm really relishing it, and then relishing our relationship, because we talked about sadhu sangha. The relationship of sadhu sangha is hearing. You want good association, it means there has to be an exchange of hearing, because that's how we advance in Krishna consciousness. Of course, kirtan, but there's no kirtan without hearing. You hear first, and then you glorify. So it's quite wonderful. And my desire to share the 10th canto. What I'm doing now is what I do when I'm in Vrindavan every day, the last 30 years. But the group here is so much more vast. So it's really exciting for me to just be with all of you. And share rasa, that devotional feeling when we all are unified in appreciation and glorification of the Supreme Lord. We're sharing something. We're sharing something. And in that way, sharing something is a bit transcendent because it's a communal experience. We feel that the experience we're creating here by Krishna Katha is one that we are all sharing together. And that we're all hearing the same thing and relishing the same thing. So let's go into this story. I'm hopeful to make this part of your Krishna conscious internal library. I don't think there's anything greater than having a frame of reference of Krishna's pastimes to think about. And as I mentioned many, many times, not just think about, but to actually feel. Because Krishna is also, he's non-different than his name and he's non-different than his message. So when someone can speak the Bhagavatam, the experience is very dynamic because it's Krishna. And Krishna is unlimited. And therefore, there's more than meets the eye. This has been like a very, very common theme. There's more than meets the eye. There's Krishna. And therefore, within the Bhagavatam, he can reveal himself unlimitedly. And the pastimes are given in terms of sutras. They may not be elaborately described, and there's a reason for that. Because we'll just project in our mental projections. It's revelatory. We're hearing with devotion, and then Krishna is reciprocating with us with the understanding. So when we approach it in a prayerful mood, begging for some enlightenment, then Krishna can reveal himself. You know, I've had that experience by studying the Gita and the Bhagavatam so many times. I had that experience that just new things come out, beautiful new things come out. Different ways to look at it, different meanings. It's just like in our own spiritual life. If you practice a ordinary devotional life, you should be learning more and more about yourself and how you're close to Krishna, how you're far away from Krishna, and what are the things in you that are covering your perception of Krishna. And what are the new things you can get in the lens of your consciousness to see Krishna more clearly? It should never, never end. And it actually never ends. Even for Radha, when she sees Krishna Radha, she sees something new. It's called apurvata. Purva means before, beforeness, purvata. Never before. Every time. Why never before? Because Krishna is not, as Prabhupada said, he's not static, he's ecstatic. Krishna is unlimited, and his glories are expanding unlimitedly, and his revelation of himself is expanding unlimitedly. And then when the devotee sees Krishna and he sees the Bhagavatam and he chants the holy name, apurvata, never before, there's new and new realizations. I'm always amazed about how many misconceptions that I have, or how many lacking of perception I have, where in practice of Krishna consciousness, Krishna just reveals to me a simple thing that I've never seen before. So we can approach these books and these pastimes and pray to Krishna that he reveals himself in our hearts. And I've been focused in these classes and focused on my Monday morning greetings. The one coming tomorrow will be Krishna loves the earth. Maybe the next week will be Krishna loves the trees. Is how much is there? And that to see and hear Krishna's pastimes, you must see beyond what the action is, but we must see what the consciousness in which it is done. This is so important in bhakti. Seva. There's something. Oh. Yeah. Seva. If you take away the seva from there's two comps, seva. If you take away the seva from seva, you're just left with va. And one commentator said, then it's bhikkhusara. Bhikkhusara is a demon. In other words, if you take away the consciousness from the activity becomes useless. Activities and things are only a means to express consciousness. So if you're exchanging for someone and it's not love, it doesn't matter what you give. Simple example of a home-cooked meal done with the intention to please and a frozen dinner or eating in a restaurant. The same ingredients are there, the same spices is there, but the devotion or love is not there. It's the consciousness. It's the consciousness that's so important. Because Krishna understands our mind, and where Krishna's pleasure is within our minds. What our consciousness is, what our devotion is. Anyway, we have this beautiful pastime here. It's Krishna entering the forest. And as he enters the forest, his feet make the ground auspicious. There's so much deep philosophy in that. Auspiciousness is unobstructed connection with Krishna. The obstruction is consciousness. Because God is everywhere. So we don't feel God. It's not because we're a distance from him. We're separated by consciousness. So the greatest auspiciousness is connection with Krishna. Ati punya, it says here in the Bhagavatam. Ati punya. Ati means unlimited. Unlimited piety, auspiciousness. Because auspiciousness really is true happiness, because true happiness is a reflection of true selflessness. Because happiness is love. And if there's selfishness, there's no love. So if you're actually feeling happy, you really want to be happy, it has to be connected to the soul. It has to be connected to the soul. So real happiness is not a selfish thing. It's a byproduct of selflessness. So what is auspiciousness? Auspiciousness means when we're connected to Krishna out of service and we have those feelings in our heart of selflessness and devotion. That's real happiness. And what is that consciousness as Krishna comes into the forest? The earth is Dharani. Dharani means to sustain and maintain. Krishna is grateful for the earth. He puts his Goloka Gokula Vrindavan on the earth. So when Krishna is touching that earth, when Krishna is touching that earth, it's not unmindful. It's completely loving. Completely loving. The first time I saw Prabhupada was in, I don't even know if it was JFK. It could have been Idlewild Airport. It used to be named Idlewild, but maybe. Prabhupada was coming, alighting from the plane, and he waved to us with blessings. And I saw consciousness. I just didn't see a wave. I saw consciousness. I saw the desire to bless. I saw the desire to be gentle. I saw his consciousness within those actions. That's what mindfulness means, that there's some consciousness behind activities. So you take away the seva from sevak. That's right, it's sevak. One who serves is called sevak. If you take away the seva, it's only vak. And vak is a demon in Krishna's pastime. So, so beautiful. Krishna is out of, and he's caressing the ground out of compassion as the cows are stampeding. And the ecstasy, the service of ecstasy actually is transformatory on the bodily platform. Because out of ecstasy, so many things, hairs can stand on end, people could cry. The earth is in this mood of service, so Krishna's walking barefoot and the ground melts. If it's cold, the ground heats. If it's hot, the ground is cool. It's constantly focused on what pleases Krishna. It's not just earth. It's a devotee. So Krishna's entering that forest, entering Vrindavan with such gratitude, with such compassion, with such devotion, with such consideration. He won't wear shoes. He wants the earth to feel that he acknowledges their service, therefore with a very intimate connection. So you see, it's just a little thing, but there's so much happening there. And more is happening there. As one enters into Krishna's pastimes, and then Krishna goes into that forest, and out of joy, he loudly blows his flute. And again, we see the consciousness. Krishna wants to please the forest of Vrindavan by an expression of his love, which is amplified by a particular instrument that's known to amplify the feelings of the heart. That's what kind of jazz instruments are. They really are very intimate because they're a vehicle where your heart just comes out. So Krishna's heart comes out. And not only does he want to please, but there's so much joy. When he enters his land of love, the land that corresponds with his desire to enjoy the most intimate love. And I just love the image as Krishna's entering the forest, and they're all pious trees. Pious trees give fruits and flowers. If they're impious, there's no fruits and flowers. And the whole forest begins to bloom. It's the whole forest is an offering of love, and the wind is serving Krishna and it's facilitating it. I hope you're painting in your minds. I hope you're all painting in your minds this image. I hope you're all painting in your mind this image. And Krishna's picking the flowers, every single one. It doesn't take that much time for him. And more flowers are being offered. And he's Natavara Vapu. He's dancing. He's the Adi Guru Kalatri. He's the original guru of all the arts, and his dancing is so beautiful. And Gopakirti, the cowherd boys, are just singing with beautiful songs glorifying Krishna. And they also have wood drums, and they're playing their instruments, and they're dancing, and the cows. And Krishna enters the forest of Vrindavan. And then the nature of the mind is perception is not just dependent on the senses. It takes the mind. It takes the mind. Because you have to perceive and interpret. And if the mind is there, neither of those functions happen. Therefore, if I'm giving a class right now and you have some problem and you're thinking of that, you probably haven't heard a word I've said. I trust, I've sensed that everybody's listening. This is not the case. But so Krishna also, he focuses his mind and he experiences different things. So first is the vision. Sometimes first is what you hear. Just like when Krishna comes back from the forest, I think actually first he sees the padaduli, the dust of Vrindavan. It's a very spectacular thing. One great saint in Vrindavan who Radhanath Swami lived with, he's still there. What a treasure of devotion. He has a goshala of like 40,000 cows. And you can go up the hill in Barsana and look over this goshala and see this cloud of dust from the cows. And then afterwards, after the dust of the cows, then they hear the kirtan. So remember, this is an incredible unified kirtan. Beautiful kirtan with Krishna playing his flute and the cowherd boy singing his glories. And the flowers just... the flower is just blossoming. And the wind serving Krishna by the fragrances and the cool drops of water. And the lakes, which are like great sages pacifying the mind. The clear lake makes one want to enter. The clear mind makes Krishna want to enter. And all this is happening, then God's pleasure, his rasa, his devotion and the devotion of the devotees. It's just a consciousness of ecstasy. You don't have to create it. You live in it. It's like you bathe in a river in the summer. You don't have to make effort. The experience is there around you. So the experience of Vrindavan is there around Krishna. And they're diving into the ecstasy of that Vrindavan forest. And then Krishna begins to look around the forest. And as he's entering the forest, on the side of the path are vanaspatim, trees. trees which are aristocratic. Vanas Patim, of the Vanas, the forest, Patim, the lord of the forest, are the trees. And then when a tree stands up so tall, and then as Krishna is going, he's seeing the trees bending. As he's entering the forest down this beautiful path with the cows stampeding and the kirtan going on, the trees are bending. And of course, the nature of a cultured person is to deflect praise. There's certain principles in Shastra that if we follow, our life becomes so much more powerful. I remember, one person, he sent me a text message. I'm chanting in the morning, I know him for many years, and he wanted to say something for me, and he's pretty much lives a lot on the internet, and then he wanted to tell me what someone did. Some mistake someone made. And I quoted him from the story of Uddhava and Madhvadura. Uddhava knew that Krishna left the planet, but he didn't tell Madhvadura. Because what is the rule? Bad news comes on its own accord. Why should we be the ones to carry it? Especially when someone makes a mistake, our ego and our superiority may attach to that message. I've seen that. So, and in the same sense that we don't share the bad news, we don't entertain for ourselves on the highest platform, at least, the glorification and the praise. So Krishna says, hey, look, Balaram, the trees are offering you. So we see, what is Krishna's heart? A cultured person. He's God, but without ego. He is the supreme controller. He is the supreme enjoyer. He is the matam paratanam nanyat kinshit asti jananjaya. Everything is resting on me. As pearls are resting on a thread. But he's not needing. We need to glorify God. God does not need our glorification. So as the trees bend down, and first of all, that humility. When the person who is aristocratic bows his head. In the Bhagavatam, in the second canto, the second canto, I think the first or second chapter, talks about renunciation. And it says, what is the use of a turban on the head, wearing a crown or turban on the head, if you do not bow to the Lord? That turban is like the crown on a drowning man that makes him go down further. So all our self-worth is offered to Krishna in devotion. And we develop the self-worth of, I am just the servant. And when you love someone, that's the greatest self-worth. Even materially, if someone becomes very, very famous, and you're just their friend, that becomes your self-worth, not your own glory. Of course, that can be taken as ego, but with the devotees, the self-worth of the subordinate position of love of Krishna. Anandam buddhi vardhanam. The Sikshastakam says that anandam buddhi vardhanam means to increase. Anandam buddhi vardhanam. The ecstasy of Krishna consciousness is like an ocean, unlimited ocean. It's increasing. So this is the wonderful thing about consciousness. It does not depend on position. In fact, position can cover consciousness unless you use your position in a mood of service. The devotee is after the consciousness, because consciousness is happiness. He's after the consciousness. I want to live in that bhav. I want to live in that devotion. And I'm a servant of Krishna. Just like the earth we were mentioning before, when the footprints are on the earth and Krishna's behind the cows because they're stampeding. And the fresh footprints from the day before is still in the ground, and the cows stampede over those footprints. The earth maintains them. They do not fade. The earth maintains them because the sense of tilak is an expression of devotion. I belong. That's an expression of devotion. Someone is in a respectable family and there's a respectable father, a respectable mother, I belong. And how do I belong? As a member and servant of that family. That's the abhiman, the self-conception of the devotee. I am a servant. I am a servant of my family. So when the tree develops that mood, and not only the humility, because the tree has these brilliant reddish flowers on the top, and when it touches Krishna's lotus feet, the tree, without any ego now, without any aristocracy, without any desire to control and enjoy, is announcing, you are better than me. Something we could never say in the world unless it's codependent and the greatness of another we ascribe to ourselves. You are better than me. That's what obeisances are. It's not a physical activity. It's a consciousness announcing the happiness of subordination and the happiness of the superiority of God. And Krishna, what is his consciousness? Why the trees first? Because compassion. Jiva doi Krishna nam sarva dharma sar. Jiva doi Krishna nam sarva dharma sar. Nadiya Godhume Nityananda Mahajan Patiyachi Nam Hata Jivara Karan Jiva Doi Krishna Nam Sarva Dharma Sar, the essence of all our duties. Sarva Dharma Sar, the cream, the essence of the best of all our duties is Jiva Doi. is compassion to others. By giving that connection and allowing them to feel their heart or their self, which is eternal. And what is, how do we give that connection? The holy name, which is not different than Krishna. We give that connection. So Krishna deflects the praise. Balaram, just see how they're bowing down to you, these trees, with such humility, with such devotion, and with such faith. And what is their faith? We are in ignorance, and that ignorance caused us to take birth as trees so we cannot enter into the forest. We cannot enter into the forest with you. We are so fallen. So Krishna becomes attracted to their humility and their fallen condition. So we see in Krishna, right, these two things. One, no pride. He deflects the praise, and compassion, which means empathetic, that he feels for the suffering of others. Of course, these trees are actually the greatest devotees because they Because it says ignorance, but it's not just their ignorance. Actually, they're showing how to eradicate ignorance. When you offer to God and awaken that selflessness in your heart, how can you free yourself from the conception of superiority and control and enjoyment and ego? The conception that's separating you from feeling the energy of God. So we'll go on to one more verse today. We'll have some fun. Text 6. This is one of my favorite verses. Ete linas tava yashok. Wait. Ete linas tava yasho kila loka tirtham. Ete linas tava yasho kila loka tirtham. Gayanti adi purusha nupatam bhajanti. Prayo ami munigana bhavadiya mukya. Gudham vane pinajahat. Jagannath daivam. So, O original personality, these bees must all be great sages and most elevated devotees of yours, for they are worshiping you by following you along the path and chanting your glories, which are themselves a holy place for the entire world. Those you have disguised yourself within this forest, O sinful one. They refuse to abandon you, the worshipable Lord. So I wrote about this. It's in Monday Morning Greetings. I guess it looks like it's backwards right there. But the next time I come into the city, depending on how many people we could have at a program, if you haven't got a book. But I wrote about this. And of course, I called it the Kirtan verse. To be or not to be, but B-E-E, to be or not to be. So this shows you what, this is it. This is where it's at. This is our process. chanting Krishna's glories, always chanting Krishna's glories, and becoming attached to it. And becoming attached to it. So they must be great sages, because these bees, why? Because Gayanta, because they're always chanting your glories. And therefore, they're Muni Gana. Not just Munis, but Muni Gana. Muni Gana means great Munis. Muni comes from the word Mauna. Mauna means silent. So who is a sage? One who is silent. One who controls his tongue. And one way to control the tongue is to take a vow of silence. And therefore you go into the forest alone and there's not many people, there's nobody around and you're silent. You go into the Himalayas and this is the yogi has to be silent. But here they are Munigana. They are great sages. Why? Because Gayanta Yasha, they're chanting your glories. They're Muni Gana. Not only Muni Gana, but they are Bhavadiya Mukya. They're not only among the sages, the great sages, but of the Bhavadiya. Bhavadiya means of your devotees. Mukya, they are the chief. The chief among the devotees are the ones who are always chanting Krishna's glories. And why? Because Taramadye of the nine process, Sarva Shastra, Taramadye, Sarva Shastra, wait. Taramadye, Sarva Shastra, Sarva Siddhi Hoy. Nira aparade poya paya premadan. Of the nine processes of devotional service, chanting the holy name is the best. And if one can do it without offense, one can attain prema. So people who do that the best, and what does it mean really without offense? It means when you're chanting the holy name, you give your consciousness the best you can to the chanting when you're doing it. Your inattention may come unknowingly, but it should never come consciously. You should never be chanting and looking at the computer at the same time. And when you chant in that way, Krishna reciprocates. Bhakti is, the advancement is by Krishna's reciprocation. We always quote from the third verse of the Chaturshloki Gita, Tesham Satityuktanam Bhajatam Pritipurvakam Dadami Buddhiyogam Tvam Yenamam Upayanti Te. One who chants with faith and devotion, I give him. Yayata mam papadyante tam sataiva. As one surrenders to me, I reciprocate. Krishna is responsive. When you give someone attention, they feel respected. It's one of the forms where love is expressed and we open our hearts. And why are they the most elevated devotees? For they are worshiping you by following you along the path, chanting your glories. So the path of Krishna. What is the path of Krishna? And how does that relate to us? Krishnanu Shilanam. That's what bhakti is. We follow Krishna. Anukulyena. Krishnanu Shilanam. How do we follow Krishna? We follow Krishna to serve him. So it says that analogy of the bees, Krishna is coming into the forest and the bees following Krishna. It means they're on the path of pleasing Krishna. That is the path of pleasing Krishna. In fact, when Krishna comes to the forest, the first sound that captures his attention is the buzzing of the bees, intoxicated with love for him. Who are themselves a holy place for the entire world. So holy place is called Tirtha in Sanskrit. It comes from the derivation of the word Tarati. Tarati means one who delivers or saves. So a Tirtha is a place that delivers or saves one. When you go to a holy place, you feel that blessing for sure. So tarati means delivers. And what kind of tarati is this? Akila lokam. For the world, it's for the whole world. Where we have Tirthas in India, the holy name is the Tirtha for the whole world. And wherever there is chanting of Krishna's glories, becomes a Tirtha. It's described in the Bhagavatam, it's just like the Ganga. Wherever the Ganga flows in India, there is bhakti and there is mukti. There's material pleasure and opulence and there's liberation. So wherever the holy name flows, there's sure to be auspiciousness. This is the key. Do not take it lightly. This is the key to our auspiciousness, this connection to God that gives us ati punya. So auspicious. Why? Because it can open our hearts to devotion. Though you have disguised yourself within this forest, they refuse to abandon you. They're worshipable. How would they disguise? Because it's God, and what's his disguise? He's coming as a cowherd boy. He's coming without opulence. And because he's coming without opulence, it's hard to recognize him as the Ishvara Paramakrishna Sachidananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. Ishvara Paramaha Krishna, the Supreme Ishvara. So you can miss Krishna because he's just a cowherd boy. But the bees, even though Krishna's hidden, they stay with him. They know who he is. And not only that, and this is so significant for our desires to attain an ultimate liberation, not only that, but as the kunjas are very thick, I've seen this in Vrindavan, I'll tell one shot. I was taking a bunch of young students, these are maybe 8 to 14, and we're in Barsana. And when you go, there's two temples. There's the Sriji Mandir, and then there's the king built this temple. He wanted to move the deities there. And on the top, there were these huge beehives always, because it's Radha, it's so sweet. And we were there, and one Brijbasi boy threw a rock. And the bees started to come down on us. And Alfred Hitchcock's The Birds had nothing on this. So I was, you know, shooing the bees off the boys and telling them to run, and we're running down the Barsana Hill, and the bees are coming, and we're like trying to get rid of the bees. And then, you know, and it's like such a thing. And then one boy's on the floor, and you drag him. It's like a military, right? Say what? I never saw it. Saving Private Ryan or something. I don't know what that is, but anyway. So I was running and running and running, and then, you know, fighting off the bees and grabbing people. It was so scary. And then finally, when we got around to Krishnakund, what a beautiful place. And we sat by Krishnakund very, very peacefully, very, very peacefully. We sat there for a few minutes, and then through the thicket, because there was these real deep thickets, all of a sudden we see the bees start coming again. And then we had to run further, because you can run from there further through the town where our bus was. So it's not easy to get through these thickets. And sometimes they make a kunj or a flower house for Krishna, but the bees can enter. So it also means, this is it, by constantly chanting the glories of the Lord in kirtan, one can enter into the gudam, the confidential places. And Krishna looks at Balaram and says, Anaga, O sinless one. And why are they sinless? No, he's talking about Balaram. That if one is chanting the glories of the Lord, whatever difficulty they have, Krishna does not take account. He sees their glories, that they're always chanting the Lord. You know, we have a particular lens that sees faults. It's described like the pockmarks on the moon. The moon is so brilliant, we just see the pockmarks and they criticize. So it's so easy because it's so difficult. What does perfection mean? We all have our personalities and we all have our false egos, and a little part of our false ego clashes with someone else's false ego. So we can develop a mentality not to respect anyone, but that's not what Krishna does. Anaga. Krishna is sinless. He doesn't see the sin. He sees the service. He sees the sincerity of people. And as his disciples, as his followers, we should take his mood. Okay, if anyone would like to, sometimes I go longer on Sunday, but today I only have about 10 more minutes, so we'll save it for people. Would anybody like to say hello?
Haribol Maharaj.
Hey, Jamuna Jaya, Haribol.
Haribol. I love the part where you were saying, I love so much of the class. Thank you. It just brings me back to Vrindavan whenever you describe these things. But I particularly love the part when you said that God is without ego. And it's such a flip. We are not God and we have so much ego. And there's a joke that someone once told me, said, what's the difference between you and God? And the answer is God doesn't think he's you. And we right? We have such an inflated ego, and we're infinitesimal, and here is God is everything, and he has no ego and is willing to give all praise to Balaram. And so it just is such a nice
meditation, Jamuna Jaya. Right? Nice meditation. Hopefully I can get towards there in New York City for a few years, and you know, the sharing the prasad together, a little more kirtan. I did that yesterday with a few people that came, mostly the kirtan, you know, and then, you know, sharing the prasadam and old friends seeing each other. What was nice yesterday is the older children of some of these people that have been around, that were born, you know, I was already in the movement, I was already their teacher. They're all taking to Krishna consciousness. So it was really nice to see Madhavi. This is her room that I'm in. the whole time for 2 hours, her eyes closed in such devotion. And she also led some kirtan. And then Jai Subhadra's Rupa, he came, he wanted to hear the philosophy. It's nice that they, you know. And then Shaiba has a son, came with Premanava, you know, the people around that little area there. And then Kalpa's daughter came, you know, and she was into it. They all came because they wanted to come. So it's nice to see. I was really happy to see that. You know, the parents were good, and now the kids are, their intelligence is developing. That's good. And they're choosing Krishna, which is great. Okay, thanks, Jumunajai. Anybody else appreciated a point or would like to say hello?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj.
Haribao. Okay, good to see both of you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much for your wonderful class, like always. And I love that point that you talked about the consciousness. And you said, if you take the consciousness from the activity, then the activity is useless. I love it very much. I think that's very
true. Wow, that's a great point. I heard one sadhu in Vrindavan say that. He said, the term for servant is sevak. You take away the seva, just the activity, it becomes vak, becomes selfish. And there's a demon that's selfish called Bakasura. Okay, I always love to see mother and daughter together. Because I don't
just see... Thank you very much, brother. Thank you.
I just don't see the two people, but I see the consciousness of affection between you. Okay. Anybody else?
Thank you very much.
Say anything? Hello? Hi, Bo. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna.
Hey, Takarani. Hi, Bo.
Thank you so much.
That's your little kutir in Queens?
Yeah.
Do you ever get out of there? Or you have to, you've been there for so long now?
I do get out of here.
Okay. Okay. Good. I have to come to your neck of the woods soon.
Please. Okay. Right, I just wanted to say, I really love the class, and I really love the description of the trees, bowing down, and I like how you, I don't know, I got some emotion, sorry.
That's good.
I like how on example of the trees you said, you were describing the happiness of the superiority of God. It's really beautiful, really touched me, thank you.
It's a hard thing for the conditioned souls to admit. Thank you, Takarani, great to see you. Hopefully when I come to the city, we can all share prasadam together. Okay, Haribo. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Tota Gopinath here, and?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Great. It was great to see you guys yesterday, too. Right?
Great to see you. Had a great day.
It was nice. It was nice. Okay, anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Jai Kishori.
Okay. Maybe I give you a call after this, okay?
Okay, Hare Krishna, thank you so much.
Okay, anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, my humble and safe instance. Thank you.
You are in the ecstasy of the Kata.
Yeah, Maharaj.
Well, that's good, you know, because you moved out into the country now to have like a very beautiful place, because you used to live in Tehran.
Yeah.
But this is a way that still the Kata and the association could come. So yeah. you get the best of both worlds. Because a lot of times when people leave the cities, then they feel they're isolated.
Thanks. Thank you. Thanks to the technology this time.
I'm sure you have some room for some of your friends.
I have a lot. I'm just praying for them to come.
I can tell you, if you keep your house in a mood open, Krishna will send them, for sure. For sure.
Okay. Maharaj, I will. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Thank you so much. Haribol. Okay.
Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Lisa.
Oh, Lisa, Haribol.
Well, I wanted to point out, I like the what you said about Krishna enters the clear mind.
Yeah. Right. He enjoys the clear mind. Yeah. Very good. Thank you, Lisa.
So the image of just entering that clear water too. It's nice.
Good. I'm getting such nice feedback. Thank you. Good. Anybody else?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. this word, Tirtha, you mentioned the derivative. I mean, the word that is a derivative of. Can you repeat that word?
Tarati, T-A-R-A-T-I, means to deliver.
T-A-R-A-T-I.
To save. Okay. Thanks, Gail. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Sri Gandharika.
Nice, thank you. Are you in between classes now?
Actually, I started to study for the exam again. We are starting in 2 weeks.
Okay, but it's nice that you're able to attend both of the classes. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay, anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Shirupa.
Oh, Shirupa.
Very
well. All right, Bo, good. Anybody else?
Yes, good morning, Maharaj.
Krishna Maharaj.
Oh, Isabel, good to see you. What?
There's two of us speaking. I'm not sure who the other person was.
Anyway, you're here. You're here now.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for a great class, Maharaj. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Isabel. Wonderful. Okay. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. This is Jagannath Priya.
How you are just enjoying in India in that 110 degree heat, I can't imagine.
No, now it's not so much hot. Now it's a monsoon coming. It's raining every day.
You're still happy there? Peaceful?
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah.
It's good.
They're clearing out all the Russians, aren't they, with special planes and things like that, right?
Yeah.
Okay, but you're choosing to stay in India. Okay. Okay, thank you, John.
Yeah, I don't want to go back.
Okay. It sounds good to me. Gokarna, the beach, right? Temples, right? Mm-hmm. You have big temples there and the pious people walking around and the kind of food that you can get that's kind of from the farmers. It seems great.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Akiko.
I can never figure out how you make these effects here.
It's a secret.
Okay, I don't have to tell me, but it looks really surreal.
Yes.
Okay.
I hope you can make it to the city soon.
Okay, we'll see how many people they allow, you know.
Yeah, don't count me, but, you know.
Don't count you?
Oh. No, count me, but don't count.
Okay.
Count me, but don't count.
Okay. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Sudama, so nice to see you twice today. Great.
And thank you for instructing Narmasaki to, you know, to have a place for us.
Oh.
We'll try to follow your order.
isn't that great, huh?
Yes.
You know, I'm sure she's making a beautiful place, you know, and to be out, have some place that's out of the city, right?
Yeah, that's great.
You can make.
I have seen photos of their place, and yeah, we are really, really dreaming about them.
Wow. I will enjoy through you, okay?
Sure, especially the prasada.
Especially what? No, that is heavy. Okay, yeah, no, I can enjoy. I will enjoy. She will have to visit me in India and bring all the stuff anyway.
Yes.
I'm looking for the day to do it again, Maharaj.
Oh, wow. If you want to look up on my website, the Supreme Personality of Rice. Article. Supreme Personality of Rice. You can understand what we're talking about. Okay. Who else? Okay, then we can go. Thank you all for coming on. So nice to see everyone. Great. Aibo, Vanchakalpa, Turubya, Shaka, Basindu, Beva, Chapa, Titan, and Baba.